Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski in this morning. Been a while since I've seen you. Hey, good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
It seems in March to say Happy New Year, but I haven't seen you in so long. But and it's so Happy New Year.
Well, thank you. Yeah, let's make this more than once a year. How about
but
that?
We need to do that.
Yes,
we need to do that. Spotsylvania issues are our focus this morning. The we'll start right off with the budget, because this is going to be a really interesting budget year, especially county administrator in both his presentation. And then the other night, just talked about, we and I have talked about this before, the difference mm-hmm. between local government and the federal government. It's so many people will look at things and say, there's always fat to cut.
Right.
And you have for years talked about how local, in local government, it's not like that, and especially in Spotsylvania.
Right. Yeah. And actually, I will give, I'll give credit to my fellow supervisor, Jake Lane. He spoke on this the other day. I forget what meeting it was. And he said something, and he put it in perspective, which I think was a really good one, which is basically, the federal government goes out there, and we all know that they waste money on everything. And we see it, in California, in Minnesota, all of this fraud and abuse and wastefulness, and,
yeah.
and the dollars not getting to where they're needed. And and that's frustrating, and I fully understand people, wanting to rein in that type of, excess. But he said something, and I thought it was put together really well. He said the amount of taxes that he pays federally, he named that, and then he said the amount he pays locally. And he said those local dollars, I can look at each of those dollars and look at a firefighter and say it's going to that guy. It's going to our sheriff's office. It's going to our, our county government. It's going to our teachers. So you know where your money is going, and you can see it affecting your life, hopefully in a positive way, at the local level. And so it is essential that we sort of separate the two, because nobody likes paying taxes. But for the services that we get here in the county, I think the amount of taxes that people pay is you get a really good deal for what you put in for what we get out. I mean, for example, we have a 24/7 professional, first responders with advanced life care at every single fire station in the county.
That's amazing, especially when you go to Spotsylvania. It's a big county, and especially some of those rural areas.
Absolutely, and that is because we prioritized that the first responders, the safety of our citizens, is top priority. And so, before what we had, I think we had four. We basically now we have 12. Station number 12 is coming online, so we had 11 stations, and of those, I think we had about four that had advanced life support. And what that means is that if you're having a heart attack, the station might not have the care that you need, and it's further away at another station. And so what we did was we invested taxpayer dollars to make sure that every single station, which they are placed to be in close proximity to all of our residents within a certain response time, that they can get there and get you the help that you need, and hopefully, and in many cases, perhaps save your life. And that was prioritized by the board, but that costs money. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what we had done. But the problem that we had done over the years is that we prioritized that, but we kicked the can down the road on everything else. And we had some board members for years who had a weird aversion to even saying a tax increase at the local level.
Right.
Which nobody wants to do that, because I understand that that is money then that you don't have. And government typically can't spend your money better than you can. But at the local level, if you look at what we do with it, we do a very good job. And so what we have been doing over the past probably 4 years now is trying to dig out of those holes. And, you know, the school system found themselves in the same spot. They're looking at small maintenance projects that should have been small that are turning into large ones because they push those down the road. And so we really need to understand, Sheriff's Office is another one too. I'm on the Finance Committee, and they have some issues there where they had put off buying some equipment and buying some stuff because of, you know, what for whatever reason. But again, it's the cost of something is never as inexpensive as it is today.
Right.
The further you put it off, the more expensive the product becomes, but then also the more expensive the overall issue becomes, because it might, you know, be a roof leak today that you could patch and get by with, and then tomorrow it's the entire roof because you never did any maintenance to it.
Yeah. Well, indeed, just going back to the fire and rescue and the money that you put in there. I live in the Salem district, and where I live, I've got there's a fire station nearby, real nearby on Gordon Road. There's also one on Route 3. So if I needed somebody would get there. But if you're out Brock Road, if you're in, you know, Livingston or Berkeley, and something happens, it could be a different world. Oh, the way it was.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's you know thank you for what you have made the county much safer.
Oh, well, thank you. And the biggest thanks goes to our taxpayers, because it's their money. And that's why it's essential to be a good steward of somebody else's dollars, knowing, because it's very easy to spend money. The easiest thing to do at budget time is just sit there and go, sure, let's spend that, let's do that. You know, why not? It's not my dollars. And that is absolutely the wrong way to do things. So to be a good steward of dollars is to look at it and say, what are the essential services that we have to provide? And for me, it's two. It's safety, and then it's education.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two essential things that we absolutely have to do. Because when it comes to safety, like we just said, you know, if you're having a major issue,
you could have a fire, heart attack, anything,
car wreck, whatever it might be, the quicker that somebody gets there, and then they're trained and they know what to do. And our guys and gals are incredibly professional.
I'll
put them up against anybody in the Commonwealth and perhaps on the East Coast, that they know what they're doing, and they're excellent at what they do. And then when it comes to education, you know, if I heard this from a couple of school board members years ago when we were doing tours of schools, is that, you know, when a kid gets into kindergarten, if they can't read by, I think it's around first grade, it takes them so long to get caught up with the rest of their peers because they're so far behind at that point.
Yeah.
And if you have chaos in the classroom, if you have chaos in the schools, you don't have enough teachers, you don't have qualified teachers, you have overcrowded classrooms, all of that stuff affects those kids. And if those kids have such a hurdle to overcome, and it takes them so long to do that, that affects their life. And if you're doing that simply to save a nickel, that's absolutely wrong.
Yeah. Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski here this morning. We'll take a break and continue this conversation on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Chris Jakubowski in this morning from the Spotsylvania Board of Supervisors. Okay, so I've been sitting here. I could have looked on my phone and been very – is it the Cortland District? I should know this, that you represent.
Oh, Battlefield.
Battlefield.
Yes.
Of course it is.
That's okay.
Okay. I've been trying to think, what district? Because I usually write it down, and I couldn't remember this morning. Battlefield District.
No, I've represented it for – now this is my fifth term.
So this is a lot of budgets for you.
I think 17.
It's probably – and after that, I mean, it's hard to say this is tougher than all of them, but this one, I mean, they all have challenges, and this one certainly is going to have challenges.
Well, I'm glad you didn't ask me to name my favorite budget. They're all important to me.
They name your favorite child.
Right. They the thing, and I do say this because, and I know that staff is simply just saying that it's a tough budget. Last year's budget actually was much easier than anybody expected it to be. Why? I don't know. It just happened to be that way. I guess, you know, you get one out of 20, so you're allowed for one of those. But But yeah, every year is a tough budget. Every year is difficult, and especially it's difficult this year because we have a reassessment. So I'm sure everybody got their reassessments on their real estate.
Yep.
And everybody, I'm assuming, yeah. And,
yeah, we went
and,
up.
And yeah. Yours went up. Okay. Yeah. Mine went up too. And it is frustrating when you see that, especially because if you're not in the market, if you haven't been, you know, following housing prices. And you're not looking to go anywhere, you look at that and go, come on, that's ridiculous. My house went up 11% and yeah. I did nothing.
Yeah.
You know, my kitchen's 20 years old. Why did it go anywhere? You know, so I understand the frustration. I get that. And so we have to balance that with the tax dollars that come from that with a tax rate that your assessments are individual, but the tax rate is for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So even if the tax rate were to go down, your assessment might have gone up so much that your taxes will still be higher. And so it's a whole mix of that throughout the county. And so that's why I'm focused. My focus has been not necessarily on the tax rate itself, keeping that in mind and understanding what people have to pay, but more so focusing on the spending and making sure that those tax dollars are being spent in the best way possible. And also understanding too that we didn't get here overnight, and nor are we going to turn things around or change things overnight. And also, whatever we do now has implications for decades to come.
Sure.
So you put that all together, and it's not just a simple, what's the tax rate going to be? It's how are we going to position the county to be in a good financial place, not just now, but in the future. You know, are one of, I think, 49 localities in the entire United States that has 3 AAA bond ratings.
And, wow, that's pretty impressive.
And we've held on to them for at least 5 years now. And we have not done that overnight. That was previous boards that had set good fiscal policy, and then the next boards that came along and stuck to those fiscal guidelines and enhanced them and changed them if they needed to. But they made sure that we were on the trajectory to make sure that our fiscal house was in good order, because again, it's taxpayer dollars. So all of that being said, each budget is just a small component of that. But again, you build on each budget. And so if this year, for example, let's just say we said, well, we're not hiring any new firefighters, even though we have a new fire station that's going to be opening. What does that do? All that means is that next year, whatever additional personnel you need, you're going to have to hire them plus what you didn't do. So you need it's a balancing act, and it's trying to make sure that the services that people need are there, but that we can also afford them.
And it's unfortunate that the school system ran into some political clashes with the two boards, and the school system has fallen behind, and you are trying to make that up, but it's slow, and it can be painful.
Yeah, I think it was a couple of years ago, because that went on for about, I'd say, almost 10 years,
right.
eight years, somewhere around there. And a couple of years ago, I made the statement, and some of the folks at the school administration, not that they didn't like it, they were just stunned. And we've worked together, don't get me wrong, but I said, you know, it took us 10 years to get here, it's going to take us 10 years to get out. And they were like, no, can we do it a little bit quicker than 10? And of course we can, but my point was is that you can't just overnight do these kind of things because you're in such a hole.
Yeah.
And you also want to make sure that you're not digging out just for digging out sake, that you're actually digging out to make sure that the services and the personnel that you need are actually going to be enhanced and better. You don't just need more bodies. You want to make sure that those bodies are actually performing and, you know, making things better. So it's not just throwing dollars at a problem. It's making sure that the problems are getting better, and also realizing that if you don't do it this year, the bill's going to come due. And, you know, if we would have done a penny a year, let's just say, over 10 years,
yep,
you wouldn't be looking at an 8-cent increase this year over equalized rate. So it's it is a challenge, but we'll get through it. We have budget public hearing, March 26th. Make sure everybody shows up at Cortland High School at 6 p.m. Before that, obviously, email, come and talk to the board, let them know what your thoughts are. And for those people who think that that doesn't matter, it absolutely matters. We absolutely listen. We talk to each other about emails we get. We talk to each other about things that, that people in the audience have said. And a lot of that, at least for me, I won't speak for the rest of the board, but a lot of that does play into the final decisions I make. Can I craft this to be better? You know, so-and-so had mentioned this. That was a really good point. How can we make sure that that doesn't happen or that does happen, whatever they were speaking on? So your voices absolutely matter. You might not like the outcome because we can't vote how every single person wants us to vote, but don't think that what you say falls on deaf ears, because it absolutely doesn't.
That's so interesting, because a lot of times I'll sit there and I've heard these just like you have for years and years and years, but there always are people who come up with something and you think, I never thought of that, or isn't that an interesting situation? That's,
yes,
because especially with what you do, there we always hear about at all levels, whether it's local, state, or federal, you know, the unintended consequences.
Right.
And well, that does happen.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing, too, is that, you know, I don't think of myself as somebody that knows everything about everything and nobody else has a clue, because that's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And I can't stand people that think that way. Some of my best ideas come from listening to others, whether it's the rest of the board or whether it's citizens out there, or an email I get, a friend of mine that just mentions, well, why don't you do it this way? Because I'm constantly trying to make sure that the final vote that I take is the best that it could be. And I'm not just doing it just to, you know, just to buy time. I'm doing this because I want to make sure that our county is the best it possibly can be, and the place that people actually not only want to come and live in, but want to contribute and make it a better place too.
We had, especially when we talk about tax rates, and I think that Ed Petrovich, the county administrator, the other night explained it well, of where, you know, he can, if the board can say, you know, we need to cut a couple cents off, but then there are going to be some real life situations that everyone's going to have to deal with
right.
Services being cut. And I think when he was talking about that, I thought the conversation you and I had, I think it was last year, the year before, when you made just some small changes at the landfill, and it affected all of us. And I was up in arms as much as anybody. But it's those little things,
right.
and those are sometimes some of the things that you have to balance. If we're going to do this, then we're going to have to do this as a result.
Well, and see that there is a great example of, you know, the convenience sites. Nobody else around here has what we have.
No.
They don't, and
you pay for it. You don't have to,
right? Well, I mean, it comes
paying,
right. It's not a separate bill that you get.
Yeah,
it comes out of your taxes.
Yeah.
But just to think of that, and what you get for that is just absolutely amazing. And the but the discussion that we had was basically of having to change what we had because it's been put off for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Because quite honestly, you know, when you talk about convenience sites and solid waste and things like that, it's not an interesting subject for the everyday person. It's core to what we have as a community, and if that fell apart, you would feel it, and it would be awful. But it's not something that people really, you know, want to jump into. But if you don't jump into it, you will see the effects of it. And
right.
So that's why you have to plan ahead with all of the aspects of local government, and that is one of them. And, you know, when it comes to other issues such as, you know, fire and rescue and sheriff's office, all of those kind of things, if you don't keep up with it, and the schools, you don't keep up with it, you don't keep modernizing, you'll find yourself so far behind that it takes a long time to catch up.
And I keep looking. I keep looking at the schools that Stafford's building. The city has built schools.
Yes.
And I think it's been a long time since Spotsylvania has built
our
high
that,
schools. What was
we, oh
Riverbend,
high school was Riverbend, and that was like
high school.
Yeah. And the last school was Cedar Forest.
Cedar Forest.
07,
yeah.
I think that opened. And yeah, and the cost up there, you know, a couple $100 million
yeah.
for a school. You know, I we have to do better. I mean, we do that in roads, every other area where we're spending public dollars, we need to do better on the cost. And unfortunately, you know, it's one of those things, it's like a domino. Well, Stafford built it for $200, so what is the average cost of a high school? It's $200 million now.
Yeah.
You know, it just, and it never seems to come down, and all the driving factors, even though those sort of slow down, the cost never comes back down. So we need to do a better job of that. And we have the Marshall Center, for example, which is one of those that the schools are looking at revamping for use. And the cost on that just keeps rising and rising. So, you know, this again, but if you don't do it, the cost now is always cheaper than the cost tomorrow.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you got to make sure that you balance it out and you can afford to do what you need to do, not just now, but in the future.
Chris Jakubowski here from the Battlefield District in Spotsylvania. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski in this morning. Good conversation on the budget. The other big thing local government's dealing with, and everybody, Spotsylvania, I mean, you're all kind of learning. That's the interesting thing. Every locality has a lot of these issues with data centers.
Mm-hmm.
And statewide, you see locally kind of back and forth on some things. Where are we with data centers right now?
So in the county, I'll give a brief history of this. So about, I think, 2015, the Fredericksburg Regional Alliance, which is Fredericksburg, Stafford, and Spotsylvania, and it's public and private, and it is the economic sort of engine of the area. It's it works together to bring business here, to enhance business, and I think it does a pretty good job. So around that time, data centers were really becoming profitable, especially up in Loudoun and Prince William, Fairfax, those areas. And we decided that, hey, we wanted to get in on that also. So the three localities, well, I think all of Planning District 16, including King George and Caroline, we decided to set a tax rate, which at that time, which is $1.25 on data center equipment. That doesn't include their real estate or anything else. It's just the data center equipment, which we created a separate taxing category simply for data centers. And we set it, it was a sort of a gentleman's agreement at $1.25, because that was below what I think Prince William was $1.65 at the time. So we figure, hey, you know, make ourselves attractive by being a little bit lower.
Yeah.
So nothing happened for about 7-8 years, and all of a sudden, you know, the state government put together the cloud computing grant, and which incentivized a lot of data centers to expand out beyond really where they were. And so we started getting a lot of knocks on the door. And we've had, I think, five or six campuses. So when you say data centers are buildings. They're typically about 250,000 square feet, anywhere from 70 to 100 feet tall, and that's all of the computing stuff is inside of those. And I don't mean to get too technical with those terms there, but all the computing stuff is in there. And on a campus, you can have anywhere from, you know, two data centers to 15 data centers, mm-hmm. depending on how many you can site on the property. And so we started to get these to come in, and they started every single one has been a rezoning that has come in. So they took land that was designated for whatever it might have been at the time, and they were changing the zoning to allow the data centers to be there. So during that process, of course, industry knows where they are, and they're typically way ahead of government, which is a good thing in many ways. But the bad thing is that making the decisions on what they want and what they need, you have to learn from others. So my fellow board members, especially Supervisor Hayes, has done a top-notch job, I think, in getting involved with other localities and finding out just what the issues are. Like, what are we doing? What's the best practices? How far should they be? How much noise do they make? All of those type of things that affect our residents. You know, if you have a data center that's in the middle of nowhere and literally nobody's around it for, a quarter mile in every way, who cares? As long as they're, environmentally not, destroying the land or anything or our water system.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want. I don't care. Just don't bother the people who live here. And if you are going to bother them, how can we mitigate that impact that you're going to have? So those are the questions that we've had and how we've tried to work it to. And as we've gone along in this process, the very first data center campuses that came were hundreds of acres. Well, now we're starting to talk to developers who are looking at smaller parcels. So, it's not just a one size kind of fits all. So what we've done over the past year is tried to craft ordinances that will work, because for one, I do want data centers to come here. I don't want to chase them away, but they need to come here on our terms. And those terms need to be workable for them. I'm not trying to be, a brick wall and say, this is it, and they can't work with that. So we worked a lot with Northern Virginia to find out why they did the ordinances they did. And for example, a data center might be a by right use in a certain zoning, especially industrial, meaning that if you have an industrial piece of land, a data center can be built with no government action except having to go through the planning department to make sure that they're sited right and, there's no environmental impacts, those type of things. But as far as the governing board, we don't have any impact on that. We don't have to vote on it. And the public doesn't have any input on it either. So come to find out that a lot of Northern Virginia counties were getting rid of the data centers in by right zoning. Well, if they've gone through all of this and they're getting rid of it now, what problems did they have with it?
Hmm.
So why would we wait until we have problems to then fix the problem that we saw other people having? Why not fix the problem now before it occurs? And so we've
tried. That's what you've done.
And that's what we've done. Finally, this past week, we voted for a special use permit, an SUP, which basically puts conditions on a use that wants to go into a certain zoning. So we've designated data centers as needing a special use permit to go into industrial 1 and 2. And so what that does is that allows the county to then work with the applicant to make sure that those data centers are sited, meaning they're going to be built at a certain distance away from a residence, let's say, or a school or a hospital or whatever it might, a road, whatever it might be. But what I didn't want was arbitrary standards, because every single piece of land, every single parcel is different. So 200 feet on parcel X might make perfect sense, but it makes zero sense on this parcel over here. So an SUP gives the county and the applicant the ability to craft something that is specific to the parcel that they are applying for.
Yeah, because this isn't a one-size-fits-all kind
exactly.
of thing.
Exactly. Absolutely. And it also, the thing I'm really proud of is we have guidelines. We basically say these are the type of things that we're looking for, because it's not fair to developers to say, try to read our mind. Try to think of what you want. Then you come through the process and we go, nope, that's not it. Try again. Well, that's just stupid. That they'll waste tons of money and time doing that. So you have to have some base guidelines of this is what we're looking for, but it doesn't mean it has to be this. And if you can argue that it doesn't need to be this because of this, that makes a ton of sense. So what it does is it unlocks a creativity. And in fact, I was talking to two separate developers about this. And you can see like the light bulb go off in their head thinking, oh, well, that means that we can actually probably put a building over here if we did this over here. And it allowed the private sector and the private developers to figure out the solution and not have the government demand that this is the solution to the problem that we think that it's going to create. So that's now in place, and I think that that's going to be very profitable for the county in that it protects our citizens, which is the number one job. And it makes sure that if you're living somewhere, you're not going to have a data center that's going to tower over you so much so that, you know, the shadow is cast on your backyard and the sun basically goes down a half hour before everybody else.
Right.
And
we've seen situations like that in Northern Virginia.
Yes. And that's the thing that we're hoping to avoid. And I think that we're getting to that point to avoid those things. So that was put into effect, and very proud that all three of us that were reelected this past year, well, two of us were reelected, one was elected, all ran that if you elect us, we will pass the SUP. And 2 months later, it's now in the county ordinance.
Well, and it also makes sense in that it's like you say, it's fair for both. It's for the county. It's fair for the organization that's the business coming in. And also, it makes you competitive. You don't want to see all of a sudden you've got this great ordinance, but people are finding other places to take their data centers because they don't want to deal with Spotsylvania.
Right. And I was thinking about this as we're going through this whole process, and I never want these things to be reactionary. I never want us to act, in sort of in isolation. But if you look at, and this is a critique, not a criticism over, say, the past 40 years of our county, is that if you take a look at what has happened, I believe that we've always undervalued who we are. We've undervalued our location. We've undervalued our land. We've undervalued our population. We've undervalued everything in so much as when somebody comes here and they say, we want to be here, we say, sure, what can we do for you, not the other way around? We're a desirable county. And we need to highlight those good points about us and make sure that we get the best deal for our folks. Not that we want to drive anybody away. We want them to be here. But we want to make sure that the deal that is done is the best that our residents could have gotten. Looking back 20 years from now, there obviously will be criticism. Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Mm-hmm. We did the best with the information that we had at hand. And we tried to set it up to be as flexible that we can make changes in the future, but that we also welcome in industry so that the tax burden is not always laid so heavily on our residents, but we have businesses and commercial and industrial that are out there that also pick up a lot of that tax burden too.
When will we start seeing? Are we within a few years of actually seeing some data center money coming into, you know, that you'll be able to, you know, have access to as far as when it's budget time?
Hopefully. During the next difficult budget. Nobody wants to put a hard, fast date on that because, you know, you shouldn't budget that way. But we are trying to integrate some of that in because we're just not positive of when it's going to open. You know, they have a couple of buildings that are complete now. I think two out of, I think it's about 30 in of those six sites. We have about 30, 35, somewhere around there, of potential data centers on those five or six campuses. And we have two buildings that are currently complete. I'm not sure if they're operational yet. They're in the process. So hopefully that those revenues will come in. But the issue that I've always had is that if we focus solely on the dollars that we can potentially get from data centers, we are going to do anything. We're going to trip over ourselves to get them here. And then we're going to be very sorry because of the things that we allowed them to do. Mm. So we need to make sure, we need to take a stand and say, we want you to be here. Here are the standards. I think they're pretty flexible. They're pretty workable. It gives them the creativity to do some things on their own property that they need to do to get more money out of it, you know, and good for them. But it also makes sure that our residents are protected as best as we know how. And one of the biggest things is we did pass an ordinance early on that says that data centers cannot use groundwater, well water, or captured water to cool their facilities. So I know a lot of other localities, they have issues with water.
Right.
We saw that. We said, absolutely not going to happen here. So we have an ordinance to stop that immediately. Now, what that does is that then says that they have to cool their facilities using fans and other ways so you get noise. So there is a trade-off to everything, but we made sure that we protected our water here in Spotsylvania.
Well, it was a few years ago, and it was Ed Petrovich, I remember, talking about, because the numbers are just so spectacular about, you know, when they're up fully right. running that you just become, you know, you can't believe it. And I mean, remember him saying it's going to be a while before this.
Right.
And like you said, you can't budget on this. Let's just wait and see how this plays out. And we are at least a few years away from seeing substantial numbers, as I understand it.
Substantial. Yes, absolutely. We'll get some of this coming in. The issue that we're going to have, though, is that, you know, let's just say it's $50 million in the next 10 years. Well, that means in year 10, we will have a cumulative $50 million. Mm-hmm. So that's $5 million a year, which in the county budget, which is $1 billion, is, I hate talking this way because $5 million is a lot of money.
It is, yeah, but you're right.
In the county budget, it's not a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And so what we also are doing, and I've asked for, and we're going to have this in the next few weeks, is we need to set up fiscal guidelines like our predecessors had done for other issues, mm-hmm. set up fiscal guidelines for data center money. Because if you put $5 million, $10 million, $20 million in front of politicians, you know, no offense, they're going to spend it all. But if we make sure that we spend it in the right way to help the county to, you know, lower the tax rate, that would be fantastic to make sure that, you know, we're using a lot more cash and less financing. Even though we have a AAA rating, you still have to pay, you know, on your debt service. So if we can reduce that, that saves taxpayer dollars. So there's many ways that we can use this to benefit our citizens that might not be a automatic, you know, 10-cent reduction in the real estate rate. But there's many ways that we can reduce other things that can bring those things down. So, but we need to put some guidelines together, and we're going to work on those before all the money is there. Because once all the money is there, who's going to want to, you know, restrict yourself?
No,
you know?
Because this is a chance. This is just like this. All of a sudden, you're saying this is a chance to do this and this and this, and then all of a sudden, you find yourself tied into things, and it's just like what you've said.
Yeah, you're like a kid going to the corner store, and you're getting bubble gum and comic books and a big gulp. And right. you're just blowing that $20. Well, if you knew ahead of time what you're going to spend it on, you would reduce what you're spending, and you'd make sure it is more focused on the things that you absolutely need. And that's what we're gonna focus on.
And boy, to have conversations and you know, to hear that, you know, a board has cut taxes 10 cents. Boy, you don't ever
well,
hear
don't
that.
Hold me to 10 cents.
Well,
that
no,
was
I
just
said, yeah. Yes, I understand.
That's what we call an example.
Right? No, I know.
But yeah, that would be fantastic. And quite honestly, what I would love to do is reduce the stupid car tax.
Yeah.
The personal property tax is absolutely a ridiculous tax. It has been there for far too long. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. But yet we have so much tied to the revenue that comes in from it. If you were to reduce that, you would reduce the services that we have talked about. So if we can, you know, supplant that with other revenues that are coming in, you don't even feel the loss of service, but you do see the reduction in those taxes. That would be fantastic, because anybody who knows, you go out and buy a new car, that first personal property tax bill that comes in is, you know, it's like a mini mortgage, and it hurts because it's right before Christmas, or it's right at the end of school, basically, and the beginning of, you know, vacation season, and those bills are due. So we need to do a better job that way.
It makes you want to drive an old car. Because it does.
It does. It does until you drive that old car, and then you realize,
yes.
Yeah.
But no, if you'll remember back when Governor Gilmore was elected on getting rid of the car tax, and everybody was like, it's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, I remember the conversations locally. Well, if we don't have the car tax, then we're going to have to make up with this.
Right.
And it never happened.
Right. And even recently, the majority that's in Richmond had campaigned on let's get rid of the car tax, mm-hmm. and there was a study that they were supposed to do, and they shot it down. So, you know, it's good campaigning, and it is tough to do. I'm not going to say it's not. I mean, if you have a revenue stream, you know, it's like having a part-time job. I know it's a silly way to explain it, but basically, if you have a part-time job and you have that revenue coming in, if you quit that part-time job, that revenue is coming in, but how do you pay for the things it was paying for?
Right.
And that's the hurdle that you have to overcome. And it's easy to say, well, just cut it. Well, our property tax brings in the second most amount of taxes locally, right behind the real estate tax. So it's not insignificant. It's not a small little thing that we can just go, yeah, sure, we'll just delay that for a couple of years and we'll make it up. But that's why I'm hoping that a lot of this new revenue that's coming in, especially from data centers, reduce that number, maybe not eliminate it totally, but reduce it and do it in a fiscally responsible manner, that the services are still there, but the taxes are reduced. And then people will see that the benefit from having data centers is that this tax was able to be reduced, or we were able to do this or that, whatever the... Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, is you don't want to tie the hands of a future board, because I don't know what they might need in the future. So guidelines are there just to sort of keep you, you know, like guardrails, just keep you, you know, on the path. But if you need to veer off that path a little bit because it's something that comes up, you know, they'll have the flexibility to do that. But I think we absolutely need to do that before the dollars come rolling in, because once that happens, they're going to be spent quicker. Nobody's going to feel that $50 million, because it will be sort of baked into the budget, and it's not like $50 million every new year that you have no idea where it's going to be spent on. It's already earmarked, and it's already going for something.
Chris Jakubowski here from the Spotsylvania Board of Supervisors. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Miss a part of the show? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Chris Jakubowski in this morning from the Spotsylvania Board of Supervisors. We have mainly talked, it's a budget season. It's always budget season in Spotsylvania.
It is. Once we pass the budget in April, they start working on it. I know they work on it year-round, but the fiscal year begins in July 1st, and then they close out the books by October, November, and we're back into it. So, yeah, it's an every-year thing.
Public hearing on the 26th at Cortland High School. That's your chance to to tell the board how you want your money spent and what you think about the budget.
Yes, and the other thing that's very important is, if you can't make it there by 6, don't worry. Still show up. You know, it doesn't mean 6 o'clock is a cutoff time and you can't talk after that. There's plenty of people talking. Please come out. Please show up. We have 3 separate public hearings, actually, tax rate, budget, and the capital improvement plan. So you can talk on those. Come out, and it is incredibly important that you let us know how you feel. And again, if you can't make it there, phone calls, emails, or other board meetings that we have, if you want to show up during public presentation time and talk, we're there to listen.
Yeah, like you said, you can have an impact.
Absolutely.
A lot of times as board members talk, you'll say, hey, you know, remember that guy who got up and spoke, said something.
Right, because we're your representatives. So come and tell us what you think.
Well, good luck with this budget. You're dealing with, you know, state and federal uncertainties and things, and it's a tough time.
Yes, it is, and we're going to do our best with your dollars.
Chris Jakubowski from the Battlefield District.
Yes, sir.
Off the Spotsylvania Board of Supervisors. You said, this is 17 budgets for you?
Yes, 17 budgets. My 5th term just started after a record-breaking election margin of 16 votes, which was apparently a record that stood for 150 years in the county.
Okay.
So this is the closest election ever. And just glad that people gave me those extra 16 votes to give me another term. I appreciate it. I'll do my best.
See you soon, Chris. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening
to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.